Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers on the broadcast today, part two of our interview with the Speaker of the Nevada Assembly, Steve Yeager.
When in Carson City, Nevada Newsmakers records in the conference room of the Nevada Builders Alliance. Coverage of the 2025 legislative session is brought to you by Pro Group Management, Workers' Comp, that works for you. NV Energy, proudly serving Nevada, providing electricity to 2.4 million electric customers. The Retail Association of Nevada, looking out for business. And by Story County, helping build Nevada's future.
We don't have a choice where we go to school, even if it's unsafe or we're being bullied. It's not fair. Every family should be able to choose the school that is best for us, not just the families who have a lot of money. Governor Lombardo wants to give every kid and every family the ability to go to a school where we can learn and where we're safe. He's fighting for us. Thank you, Governor Lombardo.
Meet Nevada Health Link, Nevada's official health insurance marketplace. Your link to savings, selection, free assistance, and name brand health insurance, where 90% of enrollees lower the cost of their monthly premium. Everyone deserves access to quality health coverage, no matter your income or family size. Visit NevadaHealthLink.com. A few minutes could save you hundreds of dollars per month.
Nevada Health Link. Our plans are made for your plans.
Your good times are at Tamarack Casino during the $150,000 Denim and Diamonds giveaways, with cash and free play drawings every Thursday and Saturday, and $30,000 in grand finale giveaways Saturday, May 31st, including a top prize of $20,000 guaranteed. Your good times are at Tamarack Casino.
Save money and take transit. Did you know you can ride the bus all day for less than what it would cost you for a gallon of gas? Plan your trip now by going to rtcwashoe.com.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're delighted that the Speaker of the Nevada Assembly, Steve Yeager, has been kind enough to do two shows with us. And so this is the beginning of part two. The movie studios bill. When Senator Lang was on the program, she said that the majority leader said that there can only be one bill. And at this point, there's still two bills. Where do you think this is going at this point?
I agree with that assessment that there can't be two bills. It's just, it doesn't make sense to have two bills. You know, the bill, I'm not really familiar with the bill in the Senate, which is Senator Lang's bill, because it's still over in the Senate. But on the Assembly side, we have had, we've heard the bill, the film bill, in committee, and then also in the Ways and Means Committee. So, you know, there's some traction there. I think people still have some open questions, though, about how exactly does this work. It's not exactly like other tax credits. I mean, other tax credits are just sort of given out, and then usually the entity does something after getting the tax credit. This is structured a little differently, where the studios would have to invest and prove that they invested, you know, upwards of hundreds of millions of dollars before they ever get the tax credit. So I think that makes it intriguing, because you do get a lot of benefit up front before that ever happens. So we had a Ways and Means hearing, and I think the next step would be, can we get that bill out of the Ways and Means Committee, and how do folks feel about it? I mean, I still think it's an exciting opportunity, and you don't want to say no to something that could truly be transformational, but you have to be fiscally responsible in the long term. And so it's not a question of whether we can afford it now, because the obligation doesn't hit for a couple of years yet. But it's a question of what does it mean for the state budget in the long run. So I'm still trying to work through some of that. I know there's only 2 weeks left, but look at some of that economic analysis and figure out, does this make sense for the state or not?
Is this something that you believe that the governor, have you talked to the governor about it?
I have talked to the governor about it. You know, I think his feelings about it have changed as he's gotten more information. So I don't know that he's made any public statement about whether he supports it or not.
Not that I've seen.
I think it's risen to a level where, you know, he's really thinking about it, much like we are, right, in terms of whether this makes sense. And so I've had discussions with him about that. Like, look, if we think this makes sense, then, you know, maybe it's something that we're going to do, but I think we all need to be aligned on that. And so, you know, the last thing I would want to do is, you know, work on a bill of this magnitude and the governor vetoes it. So we're going to have to continue to have discussions over the next 2 weeks.
If at the end of this 2 week period, it comes down to one bill, does it make sense to leave it in abeyance now and then come back and do a special session on it because it is such a vast amount of money?
Maybe. I get a little nervous about special sessions for, you know, policy things like that, just because we're at the point of session where people just want to get out of here, right? They're tired. People have been working hard. So if it's something that we want to do, I think we can figure it out in the next 2 weeks. I would not relish going into a special session either right away or later on, knowing that we're probably going to be in one on the budget side anyway. And, you know, I think at some point the studios just want some clarity, right? They tried this last session. We kind of ran out of time. We ended up in a special session on something different. And I think everyone's at the point where we just want to say, are we doing this or not? So let's make a decision in the next couple of weeks.
The thing that's interesting to me is that we have not seen the parade of stars yet.
We have not. And, you know, I think that's intentional on their part. They really had, last session, I feel like it more was about, you know, oh, we could be Hollywood 2.0 and we're going to do this and that. And they did bring, you know, they brought Jeremy Renner by, they brought, I can't remember, somebody else by, but this time they've really focused on the numbers and the economic analysis. And I think that's where they got serious about it. I mean, after last session, they hired Guy Hobbs to really jump into the numbers and what would this mean for the state and for the local governments. And so, you know, I think they've done a good job of not making it about the star power, but making it about the economics and what it could mean for the state.
Your bill on swipe fees, to bring it down to its most simple level. Where is that, and are you comfortable that that's going to be able to move forward and not get vetoed?
Yeah, so it's in the Ways and Means Committee. It's getting a hearing this Friday in Ways and Means. I had some pretty interesting discussions with a Division of Financial Instruments, which is the state entity that would regulate it. So they put a fiscal note on the bill because this is a new bank, and they would have to have some new positions to be able to regulate it. So we're working through some of their issues. You know, I think from some folks, it's a very complicated bill. And even if you understand banking, it's a complicated bill. So there have been some
concerns.
Can you
give us the simplified version?
Yeah, the simplified version really is that there are banks that are set up to be able to access the back-end infrastructure for swipe fees, and there's some other things going on there too, right? The banks would be able to take deposits, but they don't lend money. They're not going to have branches. It's mostly going to be electronic. So think about, like, it's a bank that's sort of in the back channels, but they have to have enough capital to be able to operate, so they will take deposits from companies. Anybody could set one up if they get chartered. We're adding an amendment to the bill that would allow the treasurer, the state treasurer, to actually have a chartered payments bank. And the benefit for that is we could run all the state credit card transactions through that bank, and we could do it way cheaper than we do going through, you know, the traditional mechanisms.
And this would be from the same bill?
It's the same bill. It's going to be amended to allow the treasurer to get a bank charter, which I think makes sense. Well, the state will save money. So we're working through some of those concerns because it is complicated. And, you know, when you're as a regulator, you're trying to look at something that doesn't exist and say, well, how are we going to regulate this? So to your question, though, I'm hopeful that we'll get through that hearing on Friday. I've spoken to the governor about the bill. I think he's very interested in it because, you know, looking at the financial projections, and I don't think I shared these with you last time I was on the show, but we think conservatively this could generate, you know, $200-300 million a year for the general fund, and could be significantly higher if you had like an Amazon decide to jump in the marketplace with their credit card transaction. So when you think about being able to raise that kind of money for the general fund without raising taxes or fees on anybody, I mean, that's a once in a generation opportunity. So I think he's intrigued because of that, just as I am.
I've heard numbers, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, that this could actually end up being a bigger financial windfall for Nevada than gaming is.
I think if this works, there's a lot that has to happen, but if this works and we become the hub for payment processing, you could potentially look at revenue that would exceed $1 billion a year, if not more. I mean, everyone's using credit cards, right? And so it's a question of if we do this right and we can get buy-in, I mean, it could be a huge source of revenue for the state. And of course, if we do it, other states will start doing it. But there's something about being first to market and grabbing that market share. And with Nevada's already pretty friendly business climate and regulatory climate, this really could be a huge deal for the state. So it's important to me to try to get this through. I think if we don't do it this session, we're going to lose momentum.
All right, let's take another break and we'll be right back after this timeout.
The trucking industry is the most resilient link in the supply chain. And for over 90 years, the Nevada Trucking Association has been the voice for the men and women in the trucking industry. From Carson City to Washington, D.C., we advocate for policies to protect our trucking companies and keep commerce flowing. Because Nevada's and America's prosperity is tied to trucks. There's nothing without trucking.
The Nevada Builders Alliance has been protecting the interests of the construction industry for over 50 years. Our programs save members thousands of dollars every year and allow them to provide much-needed benefits to their employees. Our industry also allows Nevada to grow. If you're thinking about a career in the construction industry, reach out. And if you haven't thought of a career in construction, what are you waiting for? We are the Nevada Builders Alliance.
Pro Group Management offers workers' comp services to a growing number of industries. As businesses grow and change with the times, the need for a solid workers' comp program must be flexible and up to date. The evolving nature of regulations can make staying ahead of complex tasks challenging. But Pro Group Management simplifies the work so your industry can move forward and succeed. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Like a traditional handmade basket, retail is woven into the fabric of life in Nevada. From big box to mom and pop, retail supports our communities in countless ways. Jobs for the disabled, team uniforms for kids, help for the elderly, and so much more. Retail employs over 1 in 10 workers. Retail supports Nevada, and we support retail.
RANNV.org.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Steve Yeager. He is the Speaker of the Nevada Assembly. You brought up the treasurer. I have to throw in, were you surprised that the treasurer announced that he's running for AG in the middle of session?
I wasn't surprised that he announced that he was running. I mean, I've sort of heard rumors, various rumors that, you know, he or others might be running. It was pretty early for an announcement, I think, all things considered. But, you know, if he made that decision and was ready to go, I can't fault him for that.
It's interesting that Senator Reid would always try to clear the field for his candidates. Does it concern you that there's no clearing of the field?
I mean, not really. You know, I think the Democratic Party has been moving away from that a little bit, right? I think there really was this perception before, at least, that the field would be cleared and someone who was hand-chosen would be the one to run. And I think you're seeing that not be the case anymore. And, you know, maybe it's a reflection of where the Democratic Party is. You know, Democratic Party, I think, is trying to figure out what its identity is. And so, you know, robust primaries where people have spirited discussions, I think, are probably going to be the norm going forward. And, you know, ultimately, I think that's good. As a candidate, I understand why you'd want the primary field cleared. It's of a lot of benefit, but, you know, we really are at a place where you just let people fight it out and the best candidate will emerge.
Do you find it ironic that, you know, Nevada, to an extent, certainly within the Democratic Party, is 180 degrees from where the National Party is? I mean, Democrats are not doing badly in the state, to say the least.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. And, you know, I think there are a number of factors. But, you know, one is the legislative level in particular. We're just so close to our voters, right? And we're a small legislature. So, you know, we really do talk to voters and figure out what's on their mind. And I think when you look at, like, sort of where we are as a state, we've really tried to focus on, you know, the bread and butter issues, whether that's the economy, education, healthcare, and just, you know, stick to that. Because the bottom line is most people don't have the luxury of being intimately involved in the political process. You know, most of my constituents aren't going to come to Carson City or Las Vegas to testify. They're not going to call or write letters. They just want government that works for them. They want government that sometimes gets out of the way. And I think Democrats here have been very, very, very aware of that. So I think it's a luxury of having a small legislature and being close to your voters.
you're very close to having a two-thirds majority in both houses. You know, Senator Reid, and we keep mentioning Senator Reid because he was such a huge influence on this state, and Congressman Amede constantly talks about missing him. You know, he peeled away Jim Jeffords and took control of the United States Senate. Do you have Republicans that you have on your eye on that could be moved over to help you to get a two-thirds majority if you needed it on certain issues?
I think there are some, but, you know, to be honest, getting the two-thirds majority on certain bills I don't think will necessarily be a problem. I mean, some of the bills we're talking about, the banking bill, for instance, that's a two-thirds bill. There'll be ample Republicans to support that. You know, I think the real question is what happens on something that's vetoed because it requires a two-thirds.
Well, and I'm sorry, that's what I was pertaining to.
Yeah, I just think it's unlikely. I mean, sure, might I try to explore that path? But keep in mind, you have to get a two-thirds override in both houses. So even if I found someone in the Assembly, that doesn't mean that they're going to find someone in the Senate. But I just think we're at a point where, you know, most of the Republicans, if not all of them, are just not going to vote to override a governor veto, even if they like the policy. I think just politically, they don't want to be in that spot. And hopefully, we don't need to be in that spot. If we can close the session out on time and agree, then we don't need a two-thirds override for a veto. But, you know, I always keep my ears open, and I always talk to folks, and I'm always trying to encourage people to come caucus with the Democrats if they feel like that's where they belong. But so far, that hasn't been successful.
All right, let's take another break. Sorry, I had to laugh at that. We'll take another break and we'll be right back.
Welcome to Story County, where history meets innovation and a pioneering spirit continues to shape our future. At the heart of the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, we power the future with global leaders in technology and manufacturing, driving progress that reaches far beyond our county lines. From advanced manufacturing to tech innovation, our industries are creating thousands of quality careers, fueling a vibrant economy that benefits every Nevadan. But it's more than just growth. Our community is our foundation, supporting families, empowering local initiatives, and creating a place where everyone belongs. Be part of a legacy built on bold ideas and boundless possibilities. Join us in building a brighter future right here in Story County. Story County, helping build Nevada's future.
As you know, Reno is booming. Tolls Development Company is helping it grow with insightful design and development, building community with every project, adding beauty, adding excitement, emphasizing our shared humanity. Reno is becoming bigger. Tolls Development is helping it become better, more livable, more enjoyable. To learn more, go to tollsdevelopment.com. tollsdevelopment.com.
All hail the $200,000 Cash is King giveaways at Carson Valley Inn. Weekly prize drawings, including thousands in cash and free play. And two big grand prize giveaway events, each with a $15,000 cash winner guaranteed. Only at the Carson Valley Inn.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Steve Eger. He's the Speaker of the Nevada Assembly. So Governor Lombardo unveiled his massive health care bill. Headlines talk about addressing shortages in healthcare providers, even dental hygienists. It would allow paramedics to assist doctors in hospitals in certain situations. It would speed the licensing of doctors who plan to work in rural Nevada. It points to a major concern that goes back forever, beyond the 2002 special session of the legislature, that Nevada simply doesn't have enough healthcare providers, no matter if it's Las Vegas or Winnemucca. Your thoughts?
Yeah, Nevada's not unique either. Almost every state has healthcare shortages. I mean, it's aggravated, I think, in Nevada, particularly in rural Nevada. But, you know, I think we're trying to have an all-hands-on-deck solution. I think some of the stuff in the governor's bill is good. You know, one of my colleagues, Assemblymember Marzullo, chairs the Commerce and Labor Committee, has worked on a bunch of compact bills so people can just come here if they're licensed somewhere else. I know the Senate Majority Leader, Cannizzaro, has a bill about centers of medical excellence, which I think does some of the things that the governor's bill does in terms of incentivizing folks. Expanding graduate medical education, Senator Pezina has that. I think it's in the governor's bill as well. So you're seeing a lot of overlap there, where I think we have the same ideas. Part of the challenge is it just costs money, right? If you're going to fund graduate medical education residencies, if you're going to incentivize folks through loan forgiveness, I mean, it costs money, right? And we're not in a place where we have a lot of extra money right now, but, you know, we'll continue to work on that issue. It's one I hear all the time, even in urban Las Vegas, that it takes forever to get into a provider.
Oh, yeah. I mean, try seeing a neurologist in Northern Nevada. I mean, it takes not weeks, but months in some cases to be able to get an appointment. So, I mean, in every field, even the, quote, lucrative ones, we don't have nearly enough people. I remember there was talk for a long time about medical tourism in the city of Las Vegas. And I talked to Shelley Berkeley, she came from Touro, what she thought about medical tourism. And she said there just aren't enough doctors to care for the current population, let alone tourists coming in for medical attention.
I think that's generally true. I mean, there are some exceptions. You know, the Lou Ruvo Clinic downtown is state of the art. I mean, people will travel for that, but, you know, more often than not,
that's not true. I mean, that's serious.
Yeah, issues. That's for
it's
serious.
It's not like going
issues.
To Thailand and getting a free vacation for less than you would pay for a surgery here in the United States.
Yeah, and I think, you know, more often than not, we have Nevadans who are leaving the state to get coverage. And so, you know, it's a vexing issue. I mean, it really is. And I think part of it is just, you know, the cost of being a medical professional, particularly being a doctor. There's just so much that's heaped on there. And as I said, if we don't have the residencies, if you can't keep people here for the residencies, they're not coming back. You know, they're gonna stay where they have their residencies. And so on the doctor side, I think that's really important. And we've done a good job expanding that. You know, nurse loan forgiveness program, I know Senator Ganser did that last session. We reauthorized that. So I think we're moving in the right direction, but I don't feel confident that, you know, 2 years from now, I'm gonna be talking to you and we're gonna have figured this problem out. I think it's just, you know, a little bit at a time. And so the governor has bills, we have bills, and I think it's important for us to pass something to make an effort this session.
Back in the 1960s in Britain, where I was raised, they advertised in the Caribbean and in other countries to get people to come be nurses, doctors, and bus drivers. And it was very successful, and that changed the whole population of the United Kingdom. What we're seeing with immigration now is everything but a solution to immigration. So we're seeing the enforcement, and you've got to give credit to the Trump administration. If everybody, that was the second biggest issue after the economy, was immigration and the border, they have pretty much shut down the border. Now the question is, can Congress get their act together to actually pass some kind of immigration reform to allow people to come in that we need?
Yeah,
your thoughts on how that pertains to Nevada?
We desperately need that, not just in Nevada, but as a country, right? I mean, population, birth rates are down. We have an aging population, not unique to the United States, but it's an issue, right? We need workforce here, and we have to import that workforce. So, I mean, I think it's critically important. And just, you know, I feel like we were talking about this 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 20 years ago. But there has to be the willpower to do it at the federal level.
Back to 86.
40 years ago.
Yes. So, yeah. And it's just funny because, you know, it's Congress's responsibility to get a bill, and they just cannot get it done. There's nobody willing to step up and do it. One of the governor's things that he put onto business and industry on Chris Sanchez was revolutionizing the boards and commissions. It's interesting that as I go around and get various services, people are talking to me about this, which you wouldn't think. Where are we with that?
I don't think the concept that the governor put forward is going to advance. I mean, part of it was that the bill is just so complicated, and some people loved it, some people hated it, and, you know, all the boards are different. Some do a good job, some don't. But part of the reason I think we weren't able to advance that is there were so many positions that were then being moved from, like, fee-funded by the boards, like, into this new agency. And so, you know, I think the concept's not going to move forward this session. Is it something we could look at in the future? Yes. Do the boards need work? Yes. But this, I think, was maybe just too revolutionary for the legislature to be able to process in 120 days.
All right. So do you think it's something that if Governor Lombardo is reelected, we'll come back next session?
I would anticipate so. And, you know, I think folks that, you know, when legislation doesn't pass, people are disappointed, but, and they, you know, I get that, but there is 2 years to work on it before the next legislative session. So, you know, I knowing Director Sanchez, Dr. Sanchez, I'm sure he'll continue to work on it and try to iron out some of those concerns. It'd be nice if we had like a bill that was, you know, a little more of a consensus bill coming into a legislative session.
And he's one of the smartest people that's working in state government.
Yeah, and kudos to him. I mean, he's worked really hard to get this where it is, but I think it just wasn't ready for us to process.
You're proposing to add ballot drop boxes across the state between the end of early voting and election day, a 3-day period during which most other voting opportunities available to Nevadans are unavailable. This would require the addition of at least 10 drop boxes in Clark County, 5 in Washoe County. Where does this stand, and do you think that the governor would veto this?
Well, we have passed it out of the legislature. It was transmitted to the governor, I believe, on Friday, so he has the bill in front of him right now. He'll have until Thursday to decide whether he wants to sign that or not. I mean, I've had some discussions with him about it. I think it makes sense. The complaint was, why does it take so long to get election results? If we can incentivize people to use the drop boxes over the weekend rather than drop them in the drop box on election day, they're going to be able to count them faster. Between Clark and Washoe, we had about 100,000 ballots dropped in the drop box on election day. If you can spread that out over 4 days, I think we're going to get a count. So, you know, count much faster. So I think it's common sense, but I'll continue to talk to the governor. And, you know, I told him if he was intending to veto it, let's have some further discussions. But I think he has the bulk of this week to decide.
I want to just take a moment to thank you so much. This is the fifth show that you have done with us during this session. I know how busy you are as the speaker. And I really appreciate you taking the time to communicate, not just with me on the program, but to the public. We really appreciate it, and thank you.
Yeah, it's been my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome, and we'll be right back.
Welcome to the Ahern Boutique Hotel, where luxury and warmth come together in the heart of Las Vegas.
We take pride in offering a one-of-a-kind experience for both locals and tourists.
Join us for handcrafted cocktails and an unforgettable experience.
Joel's Chop House, the perfect place to savor views of the Las Vegas Strip.
Satisfy your cravings at the Ahern Chocolate Shop.
No smoking, no resort fees, and the parking is always free. The Ahern Luxury Boutique Hotel is your home away from home.
A power line is more than a power line. It's maintaining the bottom line for small businesses. It's keeping the assembly line moving for our workforce. For our brightest minds, it's meeting a deadline. It's on the front line with our heroes. And on the sidelines of the biggest games. It's a direct line to our loved ones. And it's a lifeline for the most vulnerable. There's a lot on the line.
Each day, the Children's Advocacy Alliance partners with leaders, legislators, and families across Nevada to improve children's health, education, economic well-being, and safety. We recognize Nevada will be no better than the state of its children. Be a part of this change. Be a supporter of the Children's Advocacy Alliance. For more information, go to caanv.org.
When in Carson City, Nevada Newsmakers records in the conference room of the Nevada Builders Alliance. Coverage of the 2025 legislative session is brought to you by Pro Group Management, Workers' Comp, that works for you. NV Energy, proudly serving Nevada, providing electricity to 2.4 million electric customers. The Retail Association of Nevada, looking out for business. And by Story County, helping build Nevada's future.
Thanks for watching Nevada Newsmakers, coming to you from Carson City, from the headquarters of the Nevada Builders Alliance. We'll see you on the next broadcast. Thanks for watching.